the assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate.
The Lakers suck.
I have no regrets while your life is fading.
The Lakers suck.
I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan.
The Lakers suck.
When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
The Lakers suck.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate.
The Lakers suck.
I have no regrets while your life is fading.
The Lakers suck.
I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan.
The Lakers
when
suck.
When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. I don't know if you got the memo, but the Lakers suck. Yeah, we're going to call that the Jack Tatum Lakers suck remix, bitch. So, yeah, we'll get into the Lakers in a bit here. But first, I did want to start off by thanking all my listeners. I've been doing this for about a month and a half, close to 2 months, and I'm actually getting a consistent amount of listeners, and I keep track of my stats. I always keep track of my music streaming numbers and all my YouTube numbers and stuff. So habitually, I am also checking all of my numbers with the podcast, and it's actually doing really well. I haven't had a day where somebody hasn't been listening. I see people are listening to me from all around the country, all around the world. I see that people are binge listening to multiple episodes back to back. And yeah, so shout out to everybody who's listening to me all the way in California, Texas, New York, Florida, London, Jamaica, man, I'm just like Canada. It's crazy. So I really do want to thank everybody for listening. It's been pretty awesome. Didn't know if people were going to like it or not. And so far I'm getting a positive reaction. So thank you all for listening to my bitch ass. I'm happy I can entertain you in some way. First things first, since the March Madness is going to be rolling around here pretty soon in a couple of weeks. I did start a bracket pick'em league on Yahoo, and it's public. So if that's the type of thing you're into, just sign on to Yahoo. And the league's called Busted Brackets, and the ID number is 5154. So if you want to come on in and, you know, give it a go and make the wrong picks just like the rest of us, come on into the league. My homie Simon from Sports View with Simon Ruvalcaba will be doing picks together, but you can keep track with the both of us and see how you do against us during March Madness. So come along and join us, or just listen to how bad we do. Either way, hey, join if you want. Like I said, it's on Yahoo, Busted Brackets, ID number 5154. Anybody can join. All right, so let's go ahead and start off with NBA. NBA came back this weekend after the All-Star break. So let's go ahead and start off with my top 10 NBA power rankings. There was a little bit of movement this week. Not really at the top spot. Number one, I still have the Phoenix Suns. But you could tell that the injury to Chris Paul is affecting the team greatly. They've lost their last two games, but they're still 8-2 in their last 10 games. But you could see the difference on the court without Chris Paul. He makes a huge difference for them. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Suns are able to handle the rest of the season without him, because it's looking like he's probably going to be gone till at least the playoffs. And even then, who knows how effective he'll be. But I still have the Suns at the top spot. They haven't, everybody else below them hasn't really done anything to take over the top spot. But it's possible that the Suns could be dropping out if they continue to play the way that they've been playing. But they're still number one on my my top 10 NBA power rankings. Then at number two, I actually did have a little shakeup here. Really looks like with the top five here. So at number two, I have an Eastern Conference team. I have the Miami Heat. They're 40-21 right now, and they've won 3 games in a row. So they're coming out of the All-Star break on fire. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games, and they're still at the top of the Eastern Conference, and they're just playing some excellent basketball right now. So I had to bump them up to number 2. Because number 3 is the Memphis Grizzlies on my top 10 NBA power rankings. Right now they're 42-20, and they're on a 7-3. They've won they're 7-3 in the last 10 games, but they did lose their last game, and so that's really why I dropped them, because the Heat are just they're just on a tear right now, and they're playing some great basketball. Whereas the Grizzlies, they were on and off so far from the All-Star break. And then at number 4 on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Boston Celtics. They did just recently lose the other night, but still, they're playing great basketball. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games, and they look like they're going to be a force if they keep playing like this come playoff time, because you know, the Eastern Conference is up for grabs basically for anybody right now. I don't think there's really a major front runner in the Eastern Conference. You can really make a case for probably the top 5-6 teams to make it to the finals. But the Celtics, they're just playing some great basketball, and so I've got them at number 4. Number 5 on my top 10 NBA power rankings is the Golden State Warriors. They have tumbled all the way from number 2 last week down to number 5. Coming out of the All-Star break, they've lost a couple games. They blew a 21-point lead last night against the Mavericks, and they're 5-5 in their last 10 games, 43-18 overall. They're still a solid team, but you could really tell that they really need Draymond Green back. Sounds like he's going to be coming back. But I will say with the Warriors, given their experience, especially in the playoffs and the postseason, it's going to be interesting to see if they're able to take advantage of the loss of Chris Paul on the Phoenix Suns, because they'll have a good chance to take the top spot if the Suns happen to start falling with the loss of Paul. Now, granted, I still think the Suns are an excellent team, but the presence of Chris Paul really makes a difference, and you can really tell. And that's kind of what the Warriors have. They have a whole bunch of veteran players who have rings. They have a coach who has a ring, and they're just an overall good team. But they did fall this week in my power rankings because they have not been playing well since the All-Star break. Number 6 on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Philadelphia 76ers. They're 37-23 right now. They've won 3 straight, and they're 6-4 in their last 10 games. James Harden, he did make his debut with them this week, and he's balling uncontrollably. He had a triple-double last night against the Knicks, and he's just come to play ball. I had a feeling trading for him was going to work out, at least for the rest of this season, because he's going to be dedicated to at least playing the rest of the season and probably not cause any drama. And Joel Embiid seems to be pretty happy with him. And it's much better than having Ben Simmons not doing anything and just taking up roster space when you could have a perfectly fine player like James Harden, who's come on so far. And like I said, the Eastern Conference is up for grabs right now. And if he plays that way, then they're going to be a really difficult team to stop, because Joel Embiid is just playing at an MVP level. And so if you got guys on him, well, that leaves Harden open. Now, granted, James Harden has been known to play a disappearing act once the postseason rolls around. But, you know, we'll see what happens. But at this point, he's turned it on. He's played in 2 games so far for the 76ers, and he looks like he's going to fit in well, and they traded for him at the perfect time, and we'll see what happens. But they're number 6 on my top 10 this week. Then number 7 on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Utah Jazz, 38-22, 8-2 in their last 10 games. They're on a 2-game winning streak, playing really well since the All-Star break. It was really difficult, actually, because I almost put the number 8 team above them. But right now, you know, the Jazz, they're just playing great. Ever since the Donovan Mitchell I'm drawing a blank on the center's name, right? Gobert. Ever since the 2 of them have come back from injury, Jazz are solid. So I kind of feel like if those two guys stay healthy for the rest of the year, The Jazz could be something to mess with in the Western Conference. But right now I've got them at number 7. Number 8 on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Denver Nuggets. They are on fire right now. They're actually the hottest team in the NBA right now. They've won 6 straight. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games, 36-25 overall. But they're just playing some excellent basketball. And they got the longest winning streak in the league at this current point in time. And, you know, they started the season off pretty slow, but they seem to be clicking on all cylinders, at least right now. And so they're number 8. Then number 9 on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Chicago Bulls. 7-3 in their last 10 games, 39-22 overall. DeRozan continues to dominate and just play some spectacular basketball. So they're still hovering at number 9. And then rounding out my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Dallas Mavericks. They're 36-25 overall and 7-3 in their last 10 games. And they just had a huge comeback yesterday against the Golden State Warriors. They were down by 21 points, and then they went on a 28-1 run and never looked back. And Luka just had an amazing game. I don't know about the Mavs. I don't know if I really think they're going to be a legit playoff contender. I expect them to make the playoffs, but I don't know how far they're going to go. But right now, they're rounding out the top 10 on my NBA power rankings. All right, so moving on to more NBA talk. Let's talk about my shitty-ass Lakers, huh? You know, they got their asses blown out last night. They lost 123-95 to the New Orleans Pelicans. And if you don't know, the New Orleans Pelicans are not a good team. As a matter of fact, their main player, Zion Williamson, hasn't played at all this season. So they don't even really have any marquee players other than Brandon Ingram. He's a good player, but he's not LeBron James or Anthony Davis. But man, the Lakers, they are just looking like straight trash, homie. And I really think that was kind of like the last straw, in my opinion, where I just look at them and I go, I don't even think they're a legit team. Now, I've really had my questions about them even before the season started. I've made it known many times that I was never interested in the Russell Westbrook trade. I think they could have done a lot better than him. And he's turnover central. He's just not really clicking with the team. And he can't accept the criticism that he receives as well as being a Laker. And that just comes with the territory of being a Laker. You're going to hear some criticism, especially when you're not showing up when you need to show up. So yeah, he's just not working out. And then, you know, Anthony Davis, still injured. LeBron James having a great season, but other than him, that's all we've got going for us. And you know, last night they had 23 turnovers, which is unacceptable. They I mean, there wasn't even a point in the game where it looked like they were even interested in what was going on. They looked so lackadaisical in the way they were playing. They weren't clicking with each other. You could tell they're just not cohesive at all. And I can't even tell if they're a real team or not. And I'm sure part of the reason are the injuries. And so nobody's been able to get any playing time with each other. And as soon as somebody steps on the court, another guy gets injured. So it kind of ruins the flow. But that was to be expected. I mean, when you've got the three star players on your team taking up most of the salary cap, you can't really get any lower tier players to help out on the bench. And no matter what, I mean, you always need superstars. You always are going to need a great player to get you a championship, but you also need a great bench. And the Lakers, they don't have anything beyond really LeBron at this point. You know, like I said, Anthony Davis, he gets onto the court, he gets healthy, and then 3 games later, he's injured again and out for the next month. And so it's like, can we rely on him? And then, you know, LeBron's playing great. But it's actually just amusing to me because all last week during the All-Star break, it was, oh, LeBron's mad at the Lakers. Oh, LeBron is unhappy with the moves that they didn't make. And it's like, well, these are the moves that you wanted. These are the teammates that you wanted. There's been many times where the Lakers wanted to go a different direction, but you wanted to go this direction, and they've always gone LeBron's way, at least from what we could tell. I mean, obviously, I'm not in the front office with any of them. I don't have any of these conversations with them, but from what I read, LeBron's basically gets what LeBron wants. And so I kind of feel like this is what he deserves. And to hear him bitching and complaining is like, well, you should be upset with yourself and not the Lakers front office. I really think it'll be shocking if the Lakers actually do make the playoffs this year. If they do make the playoffs, I don't think they're going. I would think they would be lucky to even get past the first round or the play-in. It's going to be very interesting to see how they end this season. But so far, they're looking like shit. They're awful on defense. Like I said, the turnovers are such a huge problem. No one's clutch in the fourth quarter. They just don't look like they just don't really look like they care much. And they're in the Western Conference, where you've got the Warriors, where you've got the Suns, where you've got the Grizzlies. And then now you've got like the Jazz and the Nuggets and then even the Mavericks. So it's like, are they going to be able to beat any of these teams? I seriously doubt it, because the Pelicans are not a good team. And that's not the first horrible team that the Lakers have lost to this season. They've lost to the Pistons. You know, they've lost to the Kings. They've lost to some pretty shitty teams. And they're just awful this year. There's just nothing good to say about this team. Like I said, even though LeBron's playing great, like, whoop-de-fucking-do. You got stats, but that's about all you've got at this point. And like I said, it's just funny that last week it was all about him and what he wanted and how upset he was. And then it's like they come right out of the All-Star break and they look like trash. They don't even look like they give a shit. And I don't think there's anything that could save them. Hell, I don't even know if Anthony Davis were healthy, if they would even still be a good team. They might still be in this same position, hovering at the bottom of the West, because I don't think they could, with a healthy Suns team, hell, even with no Chris Paul on a Suns team, I think the Suns would smash them. The Grizzlies, they might be able, like if it's a 7-game series and they're facing off against the Grizzlies, they might get a game or two. But I kind of even doubt that, just because I think the Grizzlies have more energy and play better as a team. And then the Warriors, Jesus Christ, we probably get swept if we got to face the Warriors. And if Draymond Green comes back, he knows how to play LeBron. He ain't scared of LeBron. So the Lakers just look like trash. Lakers are absolute garbage this season. And it's just, it's very disappointing to see. But it's also just funny to hear the complaints from LeBron. And he wants to make all these big decisions, but he doesn't want to stick with them when they don't pan out. And there's just other ways the Lakers could have gone. I don't know what their future's going to hold. A lot of people have been talking about trading LeBron. I don't think that's the answer. I mean, what are we going to get that's better than LeBron? A whole bunch of picks and just some regular old player. I don't think that would help. I just don't really see something like that happen. I think it would be more likely that they would trade Anthony Davis. Not only because he's injury prone, but you got to really look at it too. The Lakers need to fill seats. They are LA. They're one of the most popular teams, not only just in the NBA, but they're a historically popular team. So they're going to need to put some butts in the seats, and LeBron's going to attract a lot more people than Anthony Davis. And hell, LeBron plays a lot more than Anthony Davis. So I kind of think they might need to look into trading away Anthony Davis next year. I don't really know what their plans are. But so far, we've got a couple more months left of basketball. And I don't really see the Lakers getting into gear and actually making a playoff run. As a matter of fact, I would not be shocked if they don't make the playoffs. And I'd kind of like it that way, just because I don't think they're going to do anything when they get to the playoffs. It's more likely one and done. And then also in basketball news, you heard me talking about James Harden and how well he's doing with the Philadelphia 76ers right now, you know, actually getting on the court and playing. Well, Ben Simmons, the other part of this trade, who got traded to the Nets, the Nets are saying that it's likely he's not going to play at all in March. Then why did you trade for this dude? I don't understand that. I don't understand why he's not playing. Now, they say this mysterious back injury just popped up out of nowhere, and he needs to get in conditioning, and it's just like, what the hell has this guy been doing all season? I mean, come on, man. I don't get it. Do you want to play basketball? So this is just looking like more and more like a waste of time for the Nets. And their season continues to fall even further into the toilet as well, just like the Lakers. I don't think they're as bad as the Lakers, especially because they're in the Eastern Conference. And so, you know, it's possible they can make a run, especially with KD coming back. You know, the fact that Ben Simmons hasn't even played a minute, it doesn't look like he's going to be playing at all in the month of March. So that means he might come around in the playoffs. And it's like, well, how effective is a dude who is just coming to a new team, who hasn't played a minute at all this season? How effective is he going to be, even for a playoff run? And he wasn't that great. He's not that great of a player to start. It's actually kind of amusing that I remember before Ben Simmons, the season he was drafted and before the draft came around, and everybody was trying to compare him to LeBron James. And that's one of the things I really hate about drafts and people always putting all these, oh, this is the next Tom Brady. Oh, this is the next Tiger Woods. Oh, this is the next Peyton Manning. And it's just like, how about you just let them play their career and we'll see how it goes? Because every time we say, oh, this is the next LeBron James, well, look at what Ben Simmons turned into. Ben Simmons can't even carry LeBron James' fucking jockstrap, let alone be compared to LeBron James. So I just remember when he was getting drafted, oh, this is the next LeBron, and this guy's not even a basketball player. He isn't even playing any minutes. He can't even get on the freaking court. He's just a joke to me. So I don't know what the Nets are going to do about him. I don't know if there's anything they can do about him. I'm not really sure why they traded for him. Must have just been more of a James Harden was trying to get the trade rather than them deal with his bullshit. I'm not quite sure, but I don't understand what they actually are going to get out of Ben Simmons. Don't look like they're going to get anything out of him this year. That's for damn sure. All right, and now let's go ahead and move on to the NCAA top 10. Lots of shakeups this week. 7 out of the 10 top 10 ranked teams last week all lost this past weekend. So there actually was a little bit of shakeup, more at the bottom. I mean, the top's exactly the same. Even though Gonzaga, one of the teams that lost this weekend, they lost to St. Mary's. But they're still number one. They're 24-3. Arizona also lost this weekend. They're still number two. They lost to Colorado, but they're 25-3. The biggest move this week was Baylor. They moved up to the number three spot. They're 24-5, and they moved up 7 spots. They seem to be back in order. They just kicked the crap out of Kansas, so that really boosted their rating up this week. Then moving up 3 spots to number 4 is Duke, 25-4. Another team that lost this weekend, number 5, Auburn, they lost to Tennessee. They're 25-4. Then number 6, Kansas, they lost to Baylor. They're 23-5. Then Kentucky also lost this week. They lost to Arkansas. They're number 7, and overall they're 23-6. Then another team that lost this week at number 8, Purdue. They lost to Michigan State. They're 24-5. But then these last two teams actually benefited from a couple of other losses from a couple other teams. Providence bumped up to number 9, and they're 24-3 overall. And then Wisconsin bumped up to number 10. And they're 23-5 overall. My Texas Longhorns dropped a spot to 21. They're 21-8. We got a big game tonight against Baylor. With the way Baylor's playing, my hopes are not high that they're going to get a win tonight. But hey, you never know. It's a conference matchup, so anything can happen. And speaking of that, the conference tournaments will be beginning. This is the last week of the regular season for NCAA basketball, and then the conference tourneys will begin this weekend. And then they'll go through next week, and then we get March Madness. So March Madness is right around the corner. Like I said, if you want to join my league on my league on Yahoo, you could go to Yahoo and go to ID number 5154. League's called Busted Brackets. Anybody can join. If you want to do some bracket pick 'em with me and Simon, and then moving on to baseball. Unfortunately, we're still in a lockout as of right now. No movement has been made, at least from what I saw before I started recording the podcast about 20 minutes ago. So nothing's been happening. It sounds like they're making some movement, but I mean, if they don't do anything today, if they don't come to a deal today, basically we're going to start losing some games in the regular season. So we'll see what happens tonight. There's always the possibility that they will make a deal right before the end of the deadline, but you know, we'll see. I can't really say my hopes are high that they're going to get a deal done. It kind of sounds like they may not, but what the fuck do I know? It could just be none of us really know what's going on in these negotiations. So fingers crossed that we're going to have some baseball starting on time at the end of this, at the end of next month. And then also in more baseball news, Derek Jeter stepped down as the Marlins CEO. And he also no longer is a stakeholder in the team. He owned 4% of the team. But I'm not really shocked by this. You know, Derek Jeter spent his entire playing career playing for the New York Yankees. I mean, he's a legendary player, Hall of Famer, one of the greatest overall baseball players of all time, especially of his era. He was the face of the Yankees, and I mean, he was used to winning. And I remember when he even bought a stake in the Florida Marlins, and now the Miami Marlins. But I remember when he bought a stake in them, I'm like, really? Derek Jeter's going to go from the best team in the league to like the worst team, not only in the league, but the worst team historically. They are like I think they're the worth the least as any franchise in baseball. So they're just an awful franchise. So I'm not really shocked that he stepped down. He was probably sick of working for a loser. And so now he's just going to go be Derek Jeter. It's not like he really needs to own a team, or maybe another opportunity will come along for him. But him with the Miami Marlins is now over, and that's not surprising. And then also now moving on to the NFL. Today, Kyler Murray's agent released this what looked like an advertisement to me. You know, it had like little Kyler Murray in the corner, and then it had like his logo, and basically it was him telling the Cardinals in a bunch of vague words that Kyler Murray wants a new contract. He still has a couple years left on his rookie contract, but of course he's looking to get an extension right now. This usually is the time when a quarterback, a franchise quarterback would be looking to get a deal. And especially somebody like Kyler, I mean, he's suffered a few injuries over the last couple of seasons. He is a quarterback who likes to run. And so he's probably looking to, get the bag before, anything major happens to him. And also he does want the security, but as I mentioned a few episodes before, I don't think Kyler Murray has the clout to be telling the Cardinals what the fuck to do with their franchise. He's hasn't done anything in the playoffs. He hasn't won an MVP award. The only highlight that his agent had in this little press release today was he's a two-time Pro Bowl selection. Like, okay, whoop-de-fucking-do. He's a two-time Pro Bowl selection. That doesn't mean shit. So in my opinion, I don't understand what Kyler Murray's problem is. I understand, yeah, you want the money. He deserves the money. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve to be paid. But at the same time, I don't think he has the clout. He's not Aaron Rodgers. This is not like when Aaron Rodgers has been pulling this shit with the Packers last year and whatever he's doing this year, you know, at least he's a four-time MVP. He's taken to them the Super Bowl. He's got legendary wins. He's done many things for the organization to actually say, hey, you assholes need me. I don't really think the Cardinals necessarily need Kyler Murray. I mean, there isn't really anything else out there. Obviously, they want Kyler Murray. But I don't think the dude has the clout to be walking around with these dumbass little press releases that they do through Twitter or Instagram or whatever the fuck. It's like, grow up and get real. Act like adults these days. I'm so sick and tired of this, like, sparring through social media bullshit. And I know it's because I'm old and I really couldn't care less, but it's just always so stupid and juvenile and infantile. And I'm just like, come on. You guys are all grown adults. If your agent wants to get you a a new deal, maybe he should go about it by, you know, asking for it. And if it doesn't work, well, then maybe you should play better. Because so far, like I said, Kyler Murray's career is just pretty average. It's not, it doesn't blow you away and it doesn't suck. It's just very average. He hasn't done anything in the postseason. Like I said, he hasn't won an MVP. So if I was the Cardinals, I'd probably held out another year as well, just to see what you've got. And if he's going to keep playing these stupid games, well, then maybe next year you might want to look into somebody else. Who knows? But that's the latest on Kyler Murray. Then also announced today were all the home teams for the international games. So the first one is the first week is going to be in the UK, in London. And the Green Bay Packers are going to be the home team technically. So that should be finally the UK gets like a decent team, unless, you know, Aaron Rodgers screws them over. But if Aaron Rodgers and the team is all good, then hey, good for the UK. They finally get to see somebody else besides the Jaguars play. Then the Germany game, home team is going to be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That would have been better if Tom Brady were going to be the quarterback. So I don't know how well that game's going to go. Since that team's so up in the air, but we don't know who their opponent is either. But Tampa's going to be the first team to play in Germany. Then we've got the Arizona Cardinals are going to be the Mexico City. They're going to play Mexico City, and they're going to be considered the home team. Then they're going to go back to the UK, and New Orleans will be the home team. And then rounding out the last UK home team, of course, the Jaguars, because London's very own Jaguars. We like to torture them with the shitty-ass Jaguars every year. I mean, I understand because I know their owner, he has a soccer team there. He's got a lot of roots in London, so I get it. But I just always feel sorry for jolly old London. They get our scraps. They never get, like, a good team. So, I mean, hey, luckily they at least get Green Bay. Like I said, Aaron Rodgers still playing for them. Then they're going to at least get to see a real team for once. And then since we're talking NFL, I'm going to go ahead and talk about the needs for each team in the NFC North and the AFC North. So we'll go ahead and start off with the Packers. They are currently the 28th pick in the first round of the draft. I would say their needs to fill this offseason would be the offensive line. Could use a little bit more help. It's not like they have a ton of holes. They could probably use one more guard. But they could use some help on the offensive line. I think they could definitely use some help at wide receiver, regardless of what happens with Devontae Adams. They definitely are going to need some more weapons out there for Aaron Rodgers. And so, like I said, with wide receiver, I think they're going to need some help at tight end as well. And then also the defensive line. Their defense was very good this year, but they could use some more help on the pass rushing side of things. Some of their notable free agents this offseason are Devontae Adams, of course, Robert Tonyan, and Kevin King. Out of all of them, you got to go after Devontae Adams. I don't know how you would let him go. Also, regardless of what happens with Aaron Rodgers, I think you just got to keep Devontae Adams. He's one of the best receivers in the league, and he's a playmaker. And I just don't think you can let that guy go. Then moving on to the Minnesota Vikings, they're currently the 12th pick in the first round of the draft. Their needs are mostly on the defensive side of the ball. Offensively, they're pretty explosive. I don't believe in Kirk Cousins. He's just more of like a stats quarterback to me. But really, I don't know what else they'd be able to get other than him. So, I mean, you got to kind of ride with him, but I mean, hell, they got a solid ground game, solid offensive line, two top tier wide receivers. So offensively, they're really good. But on defense, they could definitely use some help basically at every single position on the defensive side of the ball. They could use some help on defensive line. They could use some help at cornerback, and they could use some help at the linebacker position, especially because some of their free agents, their notable free agents that are going to be available are Anthony Barr, linebacker, who's been a solid linebacker since the day they drafted him. Patrick Peterson, now he didn't really have that spectacular of a season with them, but hey, Patrick Peterson is still a solid cornerback, so that's a big hole that you got to fill. Then also Sheldon Richardson and Everson Griffin. Then moving on to the Chicago Bears, They actually don't have any first round picks this year, at least currently so far, unless they happen to trade up. So that's no good when you've got a new coach, a new quarterback, and you've got a lot of holes to fill on this team. I mean, really, there are so many needs for the Chicago Bears. It's really difficult to even start. I would start at the offensive line because if you're going with Justin Fields as your quarterback, which obviously they're going to since he's only going into his second season this year, that offensive line couldn't keep him up. And while he is a very shifty quarterback, he can run and he's good on the run. He still took some really major hits. And so you're going to definitely need to protect him. And if he's, like I said, if he's going to be your franchise quarterback, you really need to get some good, solid offensive linemen. So if I were them, I'd actually probably spend a first-round pick on an offensive lineman. Oh, that's right. They don't have a first-round pick. But there are going to be some guys out there in free agency, but they definitely need some help on that offensive line. They're also going to need some help at the wide receiver position. They were very depleted last year, especially with the injury of Allen Robinson for most of the year. But even if he wasn't injured, I still think that was a position that they were going to need to upgrade at. And this is definitely the season to get a notable wide receiver. And I think they're definitely going to need to get a good wide receiver for Justin Fields. Then on the defensive side of the ball, I think they need some help in the secondary, whether it be at cornerback or safety. And then they need some help on the defensive line. The pass rush was pretty weak this year, and that says a lot because the Bears, even when they're awful, they're still known for their defense. And then and their notable free agents this year are Allen Robinson, Akeem Hicks, who's big on that defensive line, and Andy Dalton. If I were them, I would definitely want to keep Hicks just because they're going to need some help on that defensive line. And then to round out the NFC North, the Detroit Lions, pick number 2 overall in the first round. No surprise there. The Lions should be that's basically like home to them, is the top 5 of the draft. It seems like every single year the Detroit Lions are in the top 5. And you're like, oh yeah, they're going to get a good player. And they just never pan out because they're the Lions. And their needs, basically every single position. The Lions, they could use help every single which way you go on this team. Wide receiver, they could use a wide receiver. Definitely need some help on that offensive line. I think they could use some help at running back just because DeAndre Swift is always injured. The defense is better than the offense, but they could still use some help in the secondary and at the cornerback position and the safety. And honestly, there really isn't a spot in this Detroit Lions team that absolutely could use improvement. Every place on their team needs improvement, and I don't know if they're going to get it because they're the Lions, but they actually have no notable free agents because, they're not a good team and, they're not losing anybody who's worth a crap. They have a lot of holes to fill, and I don't know what to expect from the Lions. Campbell's turned out to be a pretty solid coach. He looks like he's a great motivator, but I don't know if he's going to be able to turn this organization around. And then moving on to the AFC North, starting with the Cincinnati Bengals, they draft 31st overall in the first round. I'd say their major need, obviously, is the offensive line. I mean, Joe Burrow was just on his ass throughout this playoff run. And while they made it to the Super Bowl, that was obviously their major weakness that held them back from winning a Super Bowl. So definitely take care of that offensive line this offseason. They could use some help in the secondary, whether it be at the cornerback position or the safety position. And they could also use some help at the linebacker position as well. They're good at rushing the quarterback, but when it comes to stopping the run, that's usually a problem for them, so they could definitely use some help in that front 7. Some of their notable free agents are Larry Ogunjobi, CJ Uzama, and Jesse Bates. Then moving on to the Pittsburgh Steelers, they draft 20th overall in the first round. They definitely need help at quarterback. That's the number one position. You know, Ben Roethlisberger is now retired. Their backup situation, I don't think any of their backups are going to do it. Honestly, I don't know if they're going to be able to find anybody in the draft either, because this is a very weak draft class for the quarterback position. So they might have to, If Jimmy Garoppolo's available, might have to go after a dude like him. If they're able to somehow get Russell Wilson, might have to go after him. But they're definitely going to need to take care of the quarterback position, because overall, Steelers aren't half a bad team, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Very, very good on defense. It's the offense that really needs a facelift, and especially at the quarterback position. And then moving on to the offensive line, that's the next spot that they're going to need some help at. And then at the defensive back position, just because it looks like they're going to lose Joe Hayden. He's one of their notable free agents. There looks like James Washington, wide receiver, and then Juju Smith-Schuster are both notable free agents. So the Steelers have a shit ton of needs on the offensive side of the ball. But number one, got to take care of quarterback. If they don't take care of the quarterback position, then their spectacular defense is just going to go to waste, because that's just all they've got going for them right now. And hey, they're great on defense, but they need a quarterback. They need a quarterback. And I don't think they need a rookie quarterback. I think they need a veteran quarterback to come in and take over. But we'll see what happens with the Steelers. I haven't really heard any movement on them. And, I mean, you still have a couple weeks until free agency begins and the new season starts. So we'll see what happens with them. Then moving on to the Cleveland Browns, they have the 13th pick in the first round of the draft. Their needs are definitely at the wide receiver position. They definitely need to get some more weapons for Baker Mayfield. They also need to keep him upright. I don't know if it's an offensive line thing. I know they have a good offensive line, but they definitely need to make sure that that dude isn't injured. Then they definitely need some help at the linebacker position. And in the middle of the defensive line, they're definitely going to need some help. A couple of notable free agents from the Browns are Jadeveon Clowney, David Njoku, and Tack McKinley. And then last, the Baltimore Ravens. They have the 14th overall pick in the draft. Their needs, definitely they need a wide receiver. I don't know why they haven't taken care of the wide receiver position. For some reason, I think they think Hollywood Brown is a perfect number one, and he's just a number two receiver. He's not bad, but that dude's not going to light anybody up. So they definitely need to get Lamar Jackson some more weapons through the air. They have no issues on the ground attack. It's through the air, and they need a big play receiver. So that's for damn sure. They need to take care of the wide receiver position. Then I think they could use some more help on the offensive line just to make sure Lamar Jackson stays healthy. And then they can use some help on the defensive line. Overall, their defense is solid. It's one of the best in the league. But they could probably use some help at the defensive position, especially with a couple of the notable free agents they have coming up. That would be Calais Campbell on the defensive side of the ball, Justin Houston on the defensive side of the ball, and Patrick Ricard on the defensive side of the ball. So they're losing. Those aren't really like key players, but they could use some improvement there. And so, yeah, that's the NFC and AFC North team needs. And we'll do the AFC and NFC South on Friday. And so, yeah, let's... That's this week in sports, and I'll talk to you guys on Friday.